Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats and welcome back to the second half of Sparks Egg Birthday! Yeah! Thank you again for these slips, which keep on sending them in. I've got some nice ones here. What is the best, worst gift you ever received? When I was 10 or 11, my mother gave me the tape of Chicken Run for Christmas. I had intensely disliked the movie and thought she knew that. But of course I acted as if it was, and I thought she... Oh. Sorry. But of course I acted as if I was very happy with it. This wasn't the worst gift, but I didn't like the movie because I... Anyway, basically... It's a great story, guys. This is the guy, right? This is your writing. This, please welcome to the stage. What's your name?
James, hello. This isn't a nice story, this is a very not nice story, but here, we'll go anyway. When I was 10 or 11, my mother gave me the tape of Chicken Run for Christmas. I'd intensely disliked the movie, and I had thought she knew that. I thought she knew that long before she bought it for me. But of course, I acted as if I was very, very happy with it. The gift itself wasn't the worst thing that she gave to me. But after she had given it to me, of course, I acted as if I was very, very happy and very, very proud of it. And the reason that it was the worst gift is because that feeling of the lie, that stomach-churning lie that I told my mother when I was 10 years old has stuck with me. So now I just tell them straight, I don't like the presents anymore. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, what a lovely man. If that is the thing that you carry around as guilt, you are a much better person than I. Thank you very much. What is the best, worst gift you've ever been given? My mum got me a kettle. Not a bad present, but she'd got me a kettle for the birthday previous to that and the Christmas before that. That was lovely. The gift of dementia, ladies and gentlemen. What is the best, worst gift that you have ever received? This one simply says, a padlock. I'm very sorry for the person who received a padlock for a gift. We have a wonderful storyteller lined up for you now. Please start the applause. Give the warmest welcome to our first storyteller, Sophie, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I'm going to put it in because otherwise that was in vain. I want to talk about my brother. My brother hasn't always been my brother because he was once my stepbrother. Because I didn't meet him till I was 8 and he was 14. And because basically my dad left my mom and me because he didn't want a wife and kids. So he went away and got a wife who had a kid. And turns out it's not kids, it's this kid. And which is why I'm up here in the lights. And so basically he found a wife who already had a kid. So I'm not, his name is Tobias, I'm not related to him, and there's a lot of ways I'm not related to him, like like blood, and the fact like he's like the opposite of me. He's has red hair. This is like his job through his life. He's been a magician, professional magician, a professional pickup artist. He's run like nightclubs in Copenhagen, and now he's in advertising. So he's like his whole life he's been paid to be a dickhead. he's like a horrible person, and I would never, you know, I would never have anything to do with him if he wasn't my brother. And it was like he cares about like like exercise and eating healthy and why are you doing that? And so he's in many ways not related to me, but one of the things that feels the before he became my brother, he felt like a stepbrother because I know it feels because I have a sister as well, and she feels like a sister because we grew up together, and you know everyone who has like siblings you know that when you grew up together you there's another bond, like you know you when you're children, you're small children, you bathe together, you know, you see each other naked, you run around, you yell, you yank each other's hair, like I never had that with my brother because we didn't, you know, actually grow up together, so he didn't feel like a brother. He became my brother on April 2nd, 2010, and I know that because on April 1st, 2011, I celebrated the anniversary of having met the guy who was like the one. I say he was because he wasn't. He really wasn't. That's not the point. At this point, I thought on April 1st, 2010, I met him, and it was like fireworks. I met him at this bar. We went home together. We had sex for like 4 hours. I know. Thank you. It was really. I mean, I was what was I 20 something, and I was like the first time I'd ever like cared so much about someone like at love at first sight. It was the first time I'd been completely naked in front of someone because I trusted him so much. He was this like we connected on this like meta level. It was this we had sex and we were like lying and we were like looking at the full moon through the window, and it was like he said things like he said like you know what makes you beautiful, that little dot on your nose. I was like, oh my God, it's like he knows me. Oh my God, I've never noticed the dot on my nose. Oh, that is why I'm beautiful, I guess. And I okay, so the problem was we stayed up all night, and it, you know, it was like 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and I should go home because I was meant to be at my older brother. He moved to Dubai and he came home for like a few days. So we're all gonna go to his grandparents' place to have like dinner and meet with him and his girlfriend, and it was all gonna be very lovely. But I had to be there, I think, around 11. So around 7 or 8, I had to go home and get ready. But have you ever been so in love that you don't shower? Because you don't wanna. Like, you just want them on you. No, just me? And so I chose because I was so in love and I didn't want to... I would rather, you know, stay with him for, like, that hour it would have taken me to go home and shower. So I was like, I'm just gonna stay here and I'll smell a bit when I meet my brother, my stepbrother this time. So I did that, and so I went straight to my brother's... And, like, I'm working class. My brother is... Like they're like upper middle class. I don't know what you guys say in England, but they're like really posh and rich and stuff. So I came there like in the clothes I'd worn to the bar the night before, like trying to like not make it a cleavage, and like really like I hoped I wasn't smelling that much. And I met my brother, I met his girlfriend, and I met the posh family who didn't really they don't really like me because I talk like this. And so we sat down, I started talking to my brother. He took out, he gave me his old computer, his old like little netbook thing, and he downloaded all these books for me, these e-books, about like how to manipulate girls into sleeping with you. Because he thought, you know, if you know that, then it won't work on you. I was like, should have seen me last night. And we were just kind of, you know, looking through the computer, talking about whatever, blah, 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 blah. It was like his girlfriend was there. She was very... And he's just bland because that's why they like each other. And nice girl, but they're perfect for each other. And we sat there. Still, and he still felt like a stepbrother. And so there's a bit of awkwardness. And then he says this. He says, oh. And he reaches out and he grabs, like, my hair, and he says, you have something in your hair. And he grabs it, and at the same time, we both realize that sometimes you're so in love that you don't shower. And there was a bit of what I thought was my future husband's children in my hair. And he realized that immediately. And as this has all happened like in a split second, he touched it, we looked at each other, I realized that he knew, he realized that I knew and that what it was and what I'd done. So we both like panicked and looked down at the computer to not look each other in the eyes. And at the same time as he'd done that, I just like clicked around on the computer and I'd found like the trash bin which he hadn't emptied. So at the same time as he touched this love offering in my hair, I looked down and I see 5 identical photos of my brother's penis and his girlfriend's face right next to it, doing kind things to it. He lets go, I shut the computer, and I think that's when he became my brother. Thank you for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have another storyteller. This format is working. Good. Yes. All right, and just a few words from you. What is the best, worst gift you've ever received? A Belinda Carlisle calendar. Yes, she says, from my dad. This was about 10 years after she'd had any hit songs. Thank you for that. I had a really good one. Oh, this one. What is the best, worst gift you have ever received? A van made from cake. I know. Deserves a round of applause. It does. And, wow, so many good ones. What is the best, worst gift you've ever received? The Spice Girls' first album. And that is one from me. Yes, good. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you ready for your next storyteller? Yes, please. Welcome to the stage. First timer at Spark. The wonderful Andre. Yeah. Yeah.
Hi there. I'm going to tell a story that's kind of vaguely linked. I've kind of crowbarred in an artificial link to the previous stories. But I shouldn't have said that, really, because now it's obvious what I've done. It's really about kind of doing something different and going somewhere different. And it's really going back to something that happened to me about 4 years ago. About 4 years ago, I was in a group of people who were really a mixture of artists and people who worked in the theatre and all across the kind of creative media. And it had actually been a long time since I'd been hanging out with creative people because I trained originally as an actor way, way back. And the story with that was that I did some acting for a bit. And the thing that I was aspiring to, I mean, this realistically, was being on an episode of The Bill, or maybe Casualty, where you kind of come in on a trolley, sort of non-speaking part. And it wasn't really going so well. And it seemed to mainly involve drinking a lot of alcohol and being in pubs quite a lot and doing things that you didn't get paid for. So I kind of got to a point with that where I thought, it's probably time that this is the sort of language I used, I kind of grow up now. So I'm going to stop doing that and I'm going to just live a regular, normal life where maybe I get a job where it pays some money. So I kind of went and did that for about 15 years. And then 4 years ago, this person came up to me in this group and they were saying, so what's your biggest dream? And that was kind of like a big question. Nobody had asked me that kind of thing for a while, maybe never actually. And I couldn't stop myself. Before I knew what I was saying, I was saying to put on a show. And I didn't know that was even still there. I thought I'd left all that kind of crazy stuff behind me. So it got something moving in my mind, and I thought, well, what would I do if I did put on a show? And we went back into that kind of world again. And I can't really explain why I did this, but I got it into my head that not only would I write a play, but I would actually star in it as well. I mean, talk about it's a bit narcissistic. A little bit. So anyway, I wrote this thing and put myself in it and got a director in. And one of the interesting parts of that process was auditioning other people, other actors. And at the time, I was going to this quite kind of, I suppose, relatively conservative church. And I used the church building as an audition space. And one of the characters in the play was a salsa dancer. And what happened was that I had days and days of these people turning up at the church in full salsa kind of outfit. And the people didn't know what to do with them. But after a bit, they just said, go and see Andre, because he'll deal with you. It's obviously something to do with what he's doing. Don't understand it, but it'll be something to do with that. So after a while, I cast this thing, and we got to the stage of having to pay for the theatre, which I hadn't actually got any money for. So I'd got a cast and a play, but no money. And I was signing these deals, like to go into this place and do this thing, but no money. And it was kind of reckless, but it felt like it would work out somehow. And within a week of me having to finally pay for this venue, about four people just came up to me and said, do you need any money for this? And I said, yes, I do, quite urgently, actually, because otherwise I'm going to be putting on a play and they'll be wondering why I can't pay for this thing that we've booked 6 months in advance. And so I got some money and we kind of went ahead. And the first sort of few weeks of this whole process of rehearsing and doing this thing was that the lights kept being turned off because apparently we were only entitled to about an hour of light in the theatre. So the rest of the time we were almost rehearsing, not in complete darkness, but with one light bulb just sort of in a corner, and we just sit around it. It's kind of pathetic. And it was in the middle of December, so there was this little radiator that we had to keep moving around to wherever we were on wheels. This little tiny radiator and a light bulb just moving it around. And that was like for 3 weeks we were just doing that, really. And then we started this thing, and it was, you know, typical thing, a fringe theatre above a pub. And I think really we just expected to get one or two people along, probably by accident, wandering upstairs drunk, not knowing quite where they were. And so we did this thing, and it started to do quite well. And after about 2 weeks, I'm not sure why, I mean, it just sort of happened, but loads of people started coming along because people had, I suppose, told their friends. And the first I knew that we were onto something was I went down to the bar, and the bar staff were like ecstatic because everybody was going to the bar before they came up. So as far as they were concerned, they didn't want us to leave. They just wanted us to stay there forever. And after 3 weeks, when we kind of came to the end, we got this got a great review in Time Out. And the people who'd been giving us the one little light and the little kind of radiator thing, they came to me one night and said, we'll give you anything you want, because if you just stay here and do something else, you can have two radiators. And we'll leave the lights on for more than an hour. You could have 2 hours of lighting if you know, because we really rate what you're doing. So I didn't actually go back there, but anyway, the thing about it was that it kind of made me think it's not really ever too late to follow your dream, but also, maybe it's good not to grow up. Thank you.
If you've recently subscribed to our podcast, you may have noticed a problem downloading older episodes. We fix the problem now, so there's over 180 shows to enjoy on our feed.
Full details at stories.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.